Well, I'm kicking myself because I'm not playing right now. I'm playing standard bumper music. I'm not playing something worthy of my next guest. My next guest, many of you know, is a pop culture icon. Because if you were a child of a certain generation, Saturday night meant watching him on MTV with Headbangers Ball. What people don't know is that Ricky Rockman is a tremendous, tremendous sports fan, both in racing, where he's host Racing Rocks, a syndicated radio show for 15 years, as well as, I know you're a big hockey fan and all that. He also, I think, started the tattoo craze. We'll ask him a little bit about that. But Ricky Rockman, I feel so cool here that you're my guest here on Tri-City Sports Now for Race Week in Bristol. But one thing, I know you're a big motorsports enthusiast. You live in North Carolina now. We were talking outside off the air about this, but you're from Hollywood. So let me ask you this. When you were in Hollywood, what was the national perception of Bristol in terms of where it fits on the NASCAR circuit?
Perception of all NASCAR was that it's like, you know, it's just backwards and it's simple and it's this and it's that. And even, you know, my whole time growing up in Los Angeles, I was always a fan of motorsports. You know, from, I went to Ontario Motor Speedway, I went to Riverside when I was a kid. And, but there's always been this perception of the South and, you know, that it's, you know, people, you know, you talk about Appalachia State and people think Deliverance. You know, and I'm like, no, people, it's not like that. But everybody just thinks, you know, the people in the South are backwards or they're slow. And the truth of the matter is, you know, I grew up in Hollywood, lived there my whole life. I prefer people from the South any day.
Well, like I say, you were talking about this. He lives right now outside of Charlotte. And now, I guess I'll ask you to repeat the story. I mean, you're now one of us, if you will. Tell us about what the move from Hollywood, where you were so associated with. I mean, you own the Cat House. You were hanging with Axl Rose and all this. How did it come where you went from that culture to Charlotte, North Carolina, and motorcycle buddies?
Well, even some of the bands that were so big in Los Angeles originally came from either Seattle or came from Pennsylvania or came from somewhere, but I didn't. I came from Hollywood, so that's all I ever knew. And I do these big cross-country motorcycle rides all the time, and I fell in love with North Carolina. I've got friends that race that live in North Carolina, and I just always liked it up here. So I just said, you know what, why not? And I just, you know, I figured, hey, I could always move back. Give it a year, I'll move back. And I've been here 2.5 years. And I just love living here. I mean, this is just the best. You know, I've got a lake. I've got the Carolina Panthers, which I've been a fan of since they started in 95. I can go see the Charlotte Hornets. I'm a Clipper fan, but I'll go see the Hornets. Not now, of course. And, you know, we've got sports in North Carolina and in Charlotte. And the people are better in the South. It's beautiful. It's green. And, you know, it was a big risk, and everybody, you know, I thought that I was going to be done doing any kind of rock and roll stuff, but the truth is, I moved here, and I started doing more rock things, but I'm just, you know, now I get to do my radio show at the NASCAR Hall of Fame, and it's just, you know, I'm in awe every time I walk into that
place. That's pretty cool, doing the show from the NASCAR Hall of Fame. I got to ask you that you mentioned you're a Clippers fan and all that. As a child of Hollywood and the Lakers for so long being so more glamorous, I mean, that would have been the situation in our youths. How'd you get to be a Clippers fan? Are you that counterculture?
Because I hated the Lakers because everybody liked the Lakers. All everybody talked about was the Lakers. Everybody talked about the Lakers. And I was like, well, I'm not like a big basketball fan. And I haven't been a fan of them that long, but the year that they got Blake Griffin, I decided, okay, I'm going to like this team because they suck and because they're not the Lakers. But then just Blake Griffin just started blowing me away, and I'm watching him. And then all of a sudden, a couple years after I started liking him, they started winning, and the Lakers, then they got rid of Kobe, and then the Lakers sucked. So it just became like, oh, you Clipper bandwagon. And I'm like, well, I've actually been a Clipper fan for a while. The worst bandwagon accusation that I ever get is the Panthers. Now, when I lived in L.A., my team, as soon as they started, was always the Carolina Panthers. Had no idea I would ever move to Carolina, but I always liked them. I mean, I used to wear a Kevin Green jersey in Los Angeles when he was with the Panthers. And now, you know, they're my team. I have a Panthers tattoo. I get to go see the Carolina Panthers play. And so to live here, have your football team here, you know, when I was in L.A., when I grew up, we had the Raiders and we had the Rams, and but I just didn't care. I didn't have any kind of feeling for them. But the Clippers, always loved the Clippers, and now we're in the playoffs, and even though we had a bad game one, we picked it up, but it sure is hard watching games at 1 o'clock now rather than 7:30.
Anyone else except Ricky Rockwood, who we're talking to, I would probably get on for calling his team we. I do that sometimes. That's the journalist in me here, Ricky. But for you, I think I'll let it pass here. You know, one of the things that I know about NASCAR is historically it's been so ingrained with the country music culture. How have you been successful in ingraining NASCAR and maybe even opening up the sport's eyes to a rock and roll culture?
You know, the funny thing is, it is true, and that is what everybody thinks of as NASCAR. And yes, country music is very big in NASCAR, and I also don't have anything. I don't like the new country, but I like all the old country, old, like, outlaw stuff. But, you know, I remember the first time, you know, when you live in Los Angeles and you're a NASCAR fan, your big dream is to go to Bristol Motor Speedway. And then when I finally went to Bristol, I was like, this is more rock and roll than anybody has any idea. And so I would take certain people to races whenever I could. And I was an oddball when I first started going to the races because people knew me from MTV and they're like, oh, here's this guy with a 3 and a 43 tattoo. and this is when Dale was still alive. And everybody's like, you know, what is he doing at the races? And then there was the time during the Jeff Gordon era when NASCAR became so popular that everybody said, oh, you're just on a bandwagon. And, you know, I actually became friends with Dale Jr. back then, who was like, oh, I see on MTV wearing Dale Earnhardt shirts. I wonder when you were going to come to the track. And now what people don't realize is that we've got a lot of drivers that are hardcore metal fans. I mean, you know, I do driver introductions at Dover, and I'm introducing Ryan Blaney, and Ryan Blaney, who I had never met at the time, walks behind me and says, when are we going to go see Slipknot?
You know, oh, my goodness.
Oh, cool. So I took him to see Slipknot. And there's a lot of drivers that are into rock and roll, but, you know, it's racing. And the beauty thing is I worked for Speed Channel for a couple of years where I was really the oddball. I was the L.A. guy with tattoos and this and that. And people wanted to kind of like, oh, God, now here's this guy getting into NASCAR. Because as NASCAR fans, we can always tell who isn't into the sport. We can always tell, like, oh, this guy's here because he's got a movie to promote. But then people started seeing me at the infield in Talladega with nothing but a couple buddies. And then people started noticing, like, this guy really likes the sport, you know, and I love the sport. I mean, I have such an incredible passion for NASCAR like most people don't. And I pay attention to every single race. And I'm only lucky that I got a job where I get to talk about some of this stuff. And if I didn't, I'd still be watching every single race. And to the point that when people talk bad about NASCAR, I get insulted. I'm like, hey, you know, that's my stuff.
I'm loving that Ryan Blaney loves Slipknot. I'm loving that right there. We're talking to Ricky Rockman on Tri-City Sports Now. But I got to ask you about this. I've always thought this was a great music area, and to be brutally honest with you, a better music area is the Tri-Cities than a sports town, in my opinion. So when you say that you didn't realize how rock and roll Bristol was until you came here, what's rock and roll about Bristol?
It's loud, and it's fast, and it grabs you by the back of the throat, and it just shakes you around. And that's what you want. I mean, it's hard to get. I mean, when I went last year, I went to Bristol and I watched the Xfinity race and I watched Kyle Larson and Kyle Busch battle every single lap, and I could not sit down, and I was screaming and yelling the same way I would at a Slayer concert. You know, it was going nuts. I mean, I'm sorry, when I'm seeing these guys just like aggressive, and Bristol is just a mosh pit with a bunch of 39 cars in it. That's what it is. You know, and I love it.
You were talking about how in that race, you know, you were on your toes for every lap and all that. Has breaking the races down into sections created more of that when you're watching races now, Ricky Rockman, or is it just the same to you?
I think the stages that they've done with NASCAR is a brilliant idea because what it does is it gives you, you know, like three checkered flags. I pay attention now to see who's going to, you know, sometimes when you watch NASCAR, you'll sit down and watch a race, and then you'll go do some laundry, and you'll sit down and watch, but now you want to see who's going to win every single stage, and everybody cares about these stages because it's going to matter so much when we hit the playoffs. So I think it's great. So I think it gives you a reason to watch at lap 40 or to watch at lap 50. If it's lap 35 and you're like, oh, I got to go get some beer at the grocery, you just go, listen on the radio, come back. Now, if you know that in 10 laps they're going to throw a checkers and a caution, you're going to stay and watch that. And that's great, and we need stuff like that. I mean, there's a lot of stuff NASCAR does that doesn't work. But right now, they've got some great stuff with what they're doing with the All-Star Race and what they've done with the stages that I think is brilliant.
Well,
I love it. I think it's great for the sport. Some of the stuff is so complex that I don't understand it, and the beauty is I don't care. If I've been covering this sport for 15 years, I can't understand the wave-around rule, and I don't care. I know nothing about working on cars, but I know I like that driver, and I know I like that manufacturer, and that's all you need. I mean, really.
I will tell you right there, you have just, the people of NASCAR just loved you, Ricky, when they said,
if
you just said, I know nothing about working on cars, but you have such enthusiasm for the sport, Ricky, I mean, that's the person that the sport needs to bring in. And I guess I need to ask you, why do you think that, ratings are down? I mean, this race will not sell out at Bristol. Why do you think NASCAR has lost some popularity over the last 10 years?
I'll tell you, thank you very much for the compliments. In all honesty, I was a little bit bitter towards NASCAR because I've been trying to get a job in this sport while I was on MTV. Mm-hmm. And they always went a different direction. They always said, well, we want a younger demographics. We want this, we that. And that was when I was a younger demographic.